Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas, your first show of 2023. Happy New Year. I'm Stephen Lang.
Happy New Year, guys. I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, Stephen? Did you have a lovely Christmas and New Year?
I had a acceptable Christmas and New Year, which is not a bad one. Not particularly exciting. I got sick on Christmas Day. But other than that, it was nice to be with the family and, you know, do all of those shenanigans. And I had a quiet New Year. Just went around my friends who live around the corner, watched a bit of telly. And was home by 12:30. So, you know, living the dream, really. How about you?
Yeah, lovely Christmas and New Year, thank you. Like yourself, I was with family for Christmas, which was really nice. Yeah, it was really nice. So, I'm not going to lie, though, I'm glad that January's here now.
Me too.
I think we've said it before. Yeah. We're both about New Year, fresh starts and all that.
100%.
So, yeah, but I'm really excited and optimistic for 23. So, yeah, bring it on. Great to be back. It's so weird. Even though we have a couple of weeks off over Christmas and New Year, it just feels so weird not to see your face every week and be talking to you guys at home.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And you're called all the way from Turkey, according to your Instagram. You're in a lovely hotel room.
I'm currently in Turkey, yes. So, apologies, guys. I've basically come to have my teeth redone. Mm-hmm. I think I had my teeth done originally about 10, 11 years ago. So, they was due a change. Mm-hmm. So, I had to have a couple of bits and bobs done. And I thought, whilst here, go for a fresh new smile, new year, new teeth, and all that.
Lovely.
So, I'm currently in my hotel room. But it's lovely. It's a lovely place in Turkey. I love Turkey.
Yeah.
The clinic I've been at is so amazing. And nice to get my first trip in of 23, literally like a week into
straight
the
off
year.
The bat. Yeah. You're not wasting any time, are you?
I'm like Judith Chalmers. I've got that passport and I was out of here.
I'm Joe. I haven't got any, I haven't got anything planned until March when I'm going to Sweden. But Sweden in March,
nice.
It's not going to be Turkey.
Is there anything like Cartier's meat?
Well, it's all right, Bob. I'm vegetarian, Bob, so I mean, for me, it's
That's no good. You can bring me some, but
or I could just pop to IKEA and send you some in the post, Bob, to be honest. I don't need to go all the way to Sweden, but yeah, I've got a little while before that, so I've got
when is that?
March, so beginning of March.
I'll come back before you know it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it,
it's so weird. Almost, I think it was in between Christmas and New Year. Certain supermarkets, I've seen Easter eggs. I kid you not. Mm-hmm. Before January, we've got the Easter eggs are out. I don't think I've seen Valentine's Day yet, which is weird because that comes before Easter. Way before, yeah. And even some Mother's Day stuff, which I think's ain't that May. So. that's the world we live in now. Seasons are like literally these are pinpointed things. So yeah, if you want an Easter egg, even though the last time I was in a supermarket in England, we're still getting rationed on how many eggs we can buy. So you can only buy so many real eggs, but fill your trolley up with Easter eggs.
With cream eggs, yeah.
Cream eggs, yeah, mini eggs. have as many as you want, but if you want free range, forget it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit funny that, isn't it? I was quite good. I took my tree down or my decorations down like the second I got back to my house from my family. I put it up quite early. It was like the end of November. But once I was back...
You was an early bird, weren't you, last year?
Yeah, well, I was really into it. But then I feel like, as we've discussed before, when January comes around, I'm like, boom, straight into it. I'm doing 100 days sober. So I'm on like day 11 of not drinking.
11.
Yeah.
Well done. How are you finding it? The first couple of weeks are normally the hardest,
aren't they? They are, yeah, but I think probably because I've done it before, it's not, I feel kind of fine.
And after Christmas and New Year, you kind of feel like, actually, it's like certain foods. Like if I saw one more pig in a blanket, I was going to cry. So actually, the last thing you want is sausages wrapped in bacon or alcohol in January, to be fair. So this is the time to do it.
I actually agree. I was talking with someone, a friend of mine, who was saying, like, oh, January's such a bad time to do it. But I kind of disagree because...
The best time,
because you've got way less social engagement. So, I mean, I'm still going out and seeing people and stuff, but also it's like there's less temptation. There's not, like, big festivals or like a nice pub garden in the summer or any of that. So you can kind of just sort of lock down and get on with it, really.
Everyone kind of hibernates this time of year. Cold, it's dark, it's miserable. So stay indoors. Yeah, and this is the time to do it. But like you, I kind of got sick of looking at the tree. But I'm very superstitious. So when did I take my dad? I do it on 12th night, which I think is... What day? Sorry. Day is the 12th? So I think it was the Friday.
Yeah.
It's Friday before I flew out. So I kind of had this whole kind of mad rush. Took the tree down. Putting it up, I love it. Spend like 3 or 4 hours putting it up. Get all creative. And then I was like, this has to come down. And I was counting down the days to get it down. But I thought, I can't, because I'm superstitious anyway, I cannot start a new year with bad luck. So I kept looking at this tree thinking, right, roll on, roll on, roll on. But it's down. I'm the kind of guy, I kid you not, I'm going to work it out this year, because I say it all the time. I'm sure I spend at least half of my life saluting magpies. And they go, hello, Mr. Magpie, how's your wife and children? And my friends just absolutely take the piss out of me. They're like, Bobby, you must do that 6 or 7 times a day. And the thing is as well, I've got a magpie nest opposite my apartment. So I think they know that I sit there saluting them. And
they're taking the piss out of you, Bob.
they're mugging me right off. Well, hey ho, yeah. Anything you can kind of do to bring yourself a bit of good luck.
I'm with you on that. I'm not as superstitious as that, but knock yourself out. If that's what floats your boat, then go for it, I say.
I wish I wasn't, though, because I get on my own tits doing it, especially after about 8 times in one day. I kind of think, right, like this is getting nerves now. But I know the day I don't do it, it's going to freak me out. So actually, I'll
salute
away. I'm like Simon Cowell when he used to walk out, you know, when the doors opened at X Factor. I'm like that.
Good memory.
I just feel like Simon.
I'm into it. Love it. Right, well, we have an exciting show coming up today. We have Amelia Bell from new ITDX show, Loaded in Paradise, which I've seen some clips of and looks very good. So I'm going to quiz her about taking part in that show. We've got Harvey Armstrong from Made in Chelsea halfway through the show. And then coming up at the end, we have Mia Boardman from Teen Mom UK. I always feel a bit weird saying mom because it's...
Mam,
that was me over Christmas when I wasn't feeling very well. Mam, get me some lemon.
I want some tomato soup and a bit of bread and butter.
Yeah, exactly that. So we've got an exciting show coming up. Now, I think pretty much before Christmas, we were going to talk about what I'm just about to bring up, which is the biggest showbiz news story, I think, probably is going to be of all the year, and we've only just begun. Prince Harry's book coming out yesterday, but it's actually been more the interviews he's done to promote the book, which have sort of caught the world by storm, haven't they? What have you made of it all? I think it feels a bit messy to me.
Well, I'm going to admit, you know me, Stephen, I'm not much of a reader. Like, don't get me wrong, there ain't a Roald Dahl I ain't read.
Same.
Love a bit of Roald Dahl. And then as I got older and more sophisticated, I started doing like point horror.
Lovely.
I've never been one for like a huge kind of, I'm not like a Dickinson kind of guy.
Yeah.
Was he called Dickinson?
Dickens,
yeah. I'm thinking a real deal. Yeah, but I'm not much of a Dickens. But I flew out to Turkey on Monday, and I'm going to be honest, if I'd have flown out on Tuesday, in my head I was thinking I'm going to go to Smith's at the airport, other shops are available, but I was going to buy Spare and read it whilst I'm here, but I've missed the boat. But I feel like I've already read it from what I've seen in the press already, because they've had a bit of a mare that it was released in Spain a bit too early. So
yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure the publisher's fuming about that. I did catch the interview, though. And as we spoke about, like, it's one of these things, and I remember saying to you when the documentary came out, like the Netflix, what I wanted from it was to know something that I felt like we didn't know. I wanted something new, especially after Oprah, like, what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And... from the book, I mean, I am going to read it. I'm not going to lie, even though, as I say, I feel like I've heard a lot of it. I feel like we are getting something more than we got from Netflix, mm-hmm. from what I'm seeing. But I keep kind of reminding myself, because a world of celebrity, that wouldn't be nothing shocking for some of them thinking, oh, I've had a ram, a brother, and he threw me into a dog bowl.
You would have watched that on the Only Way of Essex back in the day.
You know what I mean? Like, when you spend over a decade on a reality TV show, being thrown into a dog bowl is foreplay. but when it's royalty, it's a bit like, shit, the future King of England breaking necklaces and throwing people about the kitchen. Will you read it? I mean, obviously, you're the more educational one, shall we say. You're a bit of a reader. You're a journalist.
I don't know about that. I do. I don't think I'll read the whole thing because, a bit like you said, I kind of feel like you know it all already now, all of the details. I think what's a bit of a weird one for me is just how willing he was to go, how willing he was to reveal all of this. Kind of like you said, like fighting with your brother and stuff. It happens in most families. Back in the day, I used to have physical fights with my sister, and she's younger than me, but we used to like punch seven stages of shit out of one another. We can laugh about it now.
All fun and games. And that was one thing that I used to be annoyed about, being an only child, which sounds ridiculous to say as an adult. When people used to say, oh, do you wish you had a brother or sister? My two things were, yeah, I wanted a twin brother to double up on wardrobe.
Yeah, good.
Obviously, let's have it right. Self-respecting gay man here. I'm always thinking more clothes, more shoes. Lovely. And secondly, I didn't have anyone to rail with. So my friends would come into go to school and they'd go, oh my God, I hit David round the head with a cordless BT phone last night. And I was like, well, I've not got anyone to rail with.
That
to me, if you've got siblings, probably isn't nothing new. But there is something, I think just because royals don't really speak like that or behave like that. But I don't know what this means kind of moving forward. The more that goes on, I think, are we crossing a point now? Is there any return from? Because especially the kind of the Camilla stuff, is admitted that him and William begged Charles not to marry him.
Messy, isn't it? It's just messy, it feels.
It's messy, yeah. And hasn't he got another three books to come out yet?
I haven't heard that.
Going to do one. But I mean, what else is there to kind of say? But I've not seen the American interview with Anderson Cooper. I'd be intrigued to see that.
It's much the same. There's not a huge amount of new detail. Yeah, but I mean, still worth a watch if you're interested. I don't know.
Is it available on like YouTube?
I think it's on ITVX.
The American one as well.
Yeah.
YTV have done well, wouldn't they? They got the rights to do the Oprah one over it.
Good on them. Definitely something I think we're going to be revisiting in the coming week. So there's going to be lots more to come out. And if there is,
do you think him and Meghan will rock up to the coronation, or is it awkward as arseholes now?
Good, really good question. I think if I was them, I wouldn't, because you're basically going to take away all the focus from Charles, right? If you turn up, then everything's going to be about you and your brother. And really, it should be about Charles taking over from his mother.
Because hasn't he even published text between Meghan and Kate?
I don't know if he actually published the text, but he said what the text messages contained. It's not a screen grab, no.
That is a bit too reality TV, I guess, to show the screen grabs, isn't it?
Or like it pops up on the screen as he's talking, next to his head. That would be good, though. I wouldn't like that.
Text or WhatsApp? Does Meghan and Kate WhatsApp?
Good point. But again, it's all this stuff about revealing stuff that you would think would stay secret. And I think you'd expect sometimes for conversations that you have with people to never see the light of day. You wouldn't want them to, right? So Harry's kind of blown those doors wide open, and everything that it feels a bit mucky to me.
I do understand their point. Fuming.
Yeah, you would be, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be, don't you think?
Yeah, I probably would be. Because especially, like we've said, I think, them two really can't ever come back and really have a right to reply. Yeah. I mean, I know you can kind of have like sources from Buckhouse kind of do the whole recollections may vary thing, but we aren't really going to say William jump on an Instagram live and start calling things out.
I wish you would. That'd be really good.
Oh my God, I'd love it. It is hard though, isn't it? Because now Harry has left, in his head, and I truly believe he feels he's clearly coming from a place of a hurt. Obviously, I think what he's gone through as a child, horrendous. Mm-hmm. That I don't think's left him. And let's have it right, he wouldn't. I can't imagine anything more horrific. And he probably thinks, fuck it, I'm going to say my point of view. I've been silenced all my life.
Yeah, I think that's actually definitely...
And I'm feeling too.
That's definitely the biggest part of it. And he's been quite open about that. Right, we can talk about this all evening. But our first guest, Amelia Bell, from Loaded in Paradise is here. So let's get her in.
Hello. Is my camera all blurry?
No, you look great. All good.
Now you're looking flawless, babes.
Oh, thank you very much. I have
Is that a ring light we've got? And if so, send me the link.
Oh, do you know what? I actually smashed it, but I'll find out.
Incredible.
Yeah, you're looking very well.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you both?
Really, really good.
Happy New Year. How was your Christmas and New Year?
It was quiet. It was a quiet one, but it was all right. Yeah, it was all right. How was yours?
Yeah, it was the same, pretty much the same, quiet, but we're kind of glad it's done and out the way now. New Year, fresh start and all that.
Exactly, yeah. And everyone's starting in the gym. Kind of noticed that already.
The busiest social spots in the country at the moment, aren't they? The gyms. I've gone back and I'm not really a gym person. So
yeah, no wonders don't need January.
So Loaded in Paradise. Tell us a bit about the show. Tell us what's involved and how you came to be in it.
So I was messaged by a casting producer on Instagram, and he was just like, are you interested in this show? Didn't really have a clue what it was going to be about. So I was like, yeah, go on. Like, I'm not doing anything. My life's not exciting. Why the hell not? What have I got to lose?
Love
so I was like, go on then. So went through all the auditions and he kind of explained it to me. And essentially the way they were selling it was five pairs. There's a gold card with like 30,000 euros on it. You're living your best life. However, if you've not got the gold card, you're not living your best life. You're running around in the heat with 30 euros a day. So I was kind of like, yeah, that sounds great, because I'm not going to be one of the people chasing them. I'm obviously going to be the spender. How wrong was I? but yeah, so applied, went through all the auditions to London, just like any other TV show, did all that and got through and was like, yes. And I just thought to myself, do you know what? Even if I am slumming it in hostels for the whole time that we're filming, it's a bit of fun. And in England, you don't have any sun, so you've got to make the most of this. I was looking like vampire white. I was like, I need to go and get some vitamins in me. So, yeah, that's sort of the main premise of it, really, is how they sold it to us.
And how was it filming in Greece? You mentioned the sun. Was it lovely?
Or was it too much?
It was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. The first day we were running through Athens and I'm pretty sure I got sunstroke. They were having a heat wave that particular week. So we were running and bless, I felt awful in my, you know, small outfit. So the poor camera crew and the sound guy running around with this huge sound bag. I don't know how we all didn't collapse. It was literally, I think it was... Don't quote me on this, but I think it was like 35, nearly 40 degrees. Oh. We were running, and obviously, like the adrenaline, so you didn't realize how quick you're actually running, sprinting. And then, as soon as you stopped, I did not stop sweating for about 2 hours. It was horrendous. And then we started filming on this rooftop. We all had sunstroke at this point, and the producer was like, just keep going, we've got to get the shot. We're all there, like nearly passed out, but Athens was the worst because it was so hot and it was so intense and we had blisters on our feet. All the other islands weren't as hot because they were so windy, which was then another issue in itself. But yeah, I mean, the sun's beautiful, but it's definitely was, I think it would probably be better to do it in potentially a slightly cooler month, because that was, it's your sunbathing weather. It's not running around.
What month was it? When were you filming it?
it was like June, July.
Oh yeah, so peak of it. Ooh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Burn. You should have seen some of the burns that some of us got.
And there's one thing being on holiday in that heat, but like I say, when you're filming, especially like the whole rooftop thing, being there, because you're up there shooting something and it can be for hours, and you kind of forget, even though you're hot, that you've been so exposed, and it's not till after, and sunstroke is a real thing, isn't it? It can be rough after that.
It's amazing how quickly it comes on you.
When it's just been beating on you.
Yeah, literally. And of course, like, we all had our makeup on the first few days, like all the girls. Yeah, you want to impress. It's melting off us. It got to the point, I started off thinking, yeah, I'm going to be so glamorous. I'm going to do my hair and makeup every day, gorgeous outfits. No, if you've watched it, you'll see by the end of it, my makeup is non-existent, hair's up, and my outfits are gone. All my nice ones I wore on the first few days, I'm literally in shorts. And honestly, it was just, at this point, I thought, I don't even care that I've got a camera on me. It is so, like, sweaty and hot, and there was no point putting makeup on because you just sweated
it just
off.
Fogged off, didn't it? And in the end, I'd say 3 days in, you think, fuck it.
Honestly, I did. That's what I did. I thought, fuck it. And then watching it back, I'm like, God, why did I think that? I should have put some makeup on. But
you can't, because you'd be reapplying all day, wouldn't you? You could almost feel it fall off. You're trying to stick it back on, and you're like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, the girl that I went on with, Millie, she literally, every single day, looked perfect, you know, makeup flawless, hair flawless. I don't know how she did it, but you've literally, it's just the comparison. You've literally got gorgeous, glamorous, and then you've literally just got me that's just like, no.
You're gorgeous and glamorous.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that. But like, did you and Millie argue, like, or how was it like when the cameras were off? Because, I mean, you know, they're not on you constantly. So what was it like?
Yeah, so we had never had an argument until that first day when we were chasing. And I remember we'd been running around for 40 minutes at this point. We were both not in the mood. And we had blisters. And I must have just said something to her like, why are you going that way? Come this way. And she went, do not speak to me like that. Do not speak. And I saw the look in her eyes. And I was like, didn't say a word, just was like, held my head in
shame.
That
was you told.
That was me told, yeah. And then since then, I thought, right, I better watch out. There was no real arguments. I think as well, little things that maybe you would have, you know, like, it's like a family, isn't it? You're there, and little things that get on your nerves that wouldn't usually get on your nerves in the normal day-to-day life. I think if you did wind each other up, you just tried not to mention it, because at the end of the day, that's the only person you really know. Like, as much as you're being friends,
and you're competing with all these other people and stuff, and you want to sort of
you literally can't have a fallout, really. I know some of the other couples did have some fallouts, but they literally were very quick fallouts and then make up again, because if you fell out, you're sleeping in the same bed as that person. That's going to be a hell awkward night if you fall out for a long time.
Yeah, true. So you have to get over yourself in that
instance.
Yeah,
well, I'm the type of person that I just say sorry, even if it's not my fault. I'm like, please, can we be friends again? Like, someone could break my leg and I'd be like, sorry, was that my fault? So, yeah, I can't stand it.
Did you enjoy the whole experience when you look back now?
Oh, I mean, the experience was just amazing. Like, looking back, it's the best thing I've ever done. Like, just being able to see the different the different islands, really, meeting the people that I did, doing the things that we did. Like, you'd never have caught me on one of them things where you know, the jet skis in the front and then you've got a big blow up thing at the back. I'd have never in my life would have done that, and I'll never do it again. But I can say I've done it. You know, I've ticked it off the list. So yeah, it was amazing. I think everyone is, obviously it's hard, it's long days. In the time, it was like, oh my God, this is hell. But you look back and you're like, what an experience.
Yeah, and Greece is such a lovely country, isn't it? I love
Greece. It's beautiful. Yeah, I think Rhodes was my favourite. It was a shame we weren't allowed to film in the old town, because I would have loved to see that.
Some places are really strict, aren't they, where you're allowed to film and where you can't.
Yeah,
have you experienced that, Bob?
No.
Yeah, in certain places, I think, especially if there's like monuments or there's some kind of history, they're so strict, and there'll be like police will turn up, and like, because production companies have to get permits, you can't just kind of rock up with your cameras, because they'll be like, no, they'll take your footage off you.
I remember seeing that on This Morning. Alison Hammond was going into Venice and they were filming live, and then all these police come around her and they're like, no, you can't film here, like live TV.
Oh yeah, they will turn up and they'll take the tapes or the discs off the camera crew, because like you literally, but even places in England, you need permits to film in certain parks, even in Essex.
Really? I didn't know that. Blimey. They're saying new every day.
Yeah, we had to get permission. Any like hotel we were staying at, restaurant we were going to, we told the producers, you know, oh, we're thinking of going here. They then had to ring up 10 minutes in advance and check that it was okay for us to film. And there were some places that we were like, can we go here? And they were like, nope.
Absolutely not. You mentioned earlier, so the gold card situation, for anyone that hasn't seen it, basically you're on the hunt for this gold card, right? Which is like the money. Can you explain a bit about what you can do with that and how it sort of works?
So basically there's a Greek god called Plutus, and he gets in contact with you through these smartphones, and he has given you this gold card full of £30,000.
Is he single?
Well, yeah, I know, yeah.
A great god with 30 grand.
So. Yeah, I know. And he texts you and he doesn't give you any help. He just, yeah, so he's brilliant. So he was really great. And what you could do if you had the card, you could just spend as much money as you wanted. So you were literally staying in like the luxury, like 5-star hotel. Like me and Millie stayed in the Four Seasons. We stayed on a yacht. It was insane. However, he only had enough money for that one pair. So obviously, if you didn't have the gold card, you were in like 1-star. I mean, on one of the hostels we stayed in, I pulled back the bed and like a little family of spiders made their den there. And now I'm not one to ever kill insects, but I will certainly not be sleeping with them in the bed. And the shower, one of the showers, there was no shower. It was just, you know, like the basin of it. And then there was just a tap, and we had to like put our heads like underneath. It was just hell. And then there was one hostel that me and Millie stayed at, and there was about 6 big, huge, muscly, like they looked like they were from the mafia, like men stood outside all drinking, and we were like, we're going to die tonight. Like, it was terrifying.
Awful TV show.
Yeah. And you know what? If they'd have been like, you know, strapping and 20-year-olds, I might have been like,
oh,
yeah. If it was the other way around, I would have invited them in.
Were there any low points on the series when you were recording?
For me, I think my lowest point was, we always got the decisions, the really big decisions, and my lowest point was having to send my my little showmance home. That was
Do you say showmance?
Yeah, like a little bit of a romance. It was just horrendous, because he was like,
and this was Guy, right?
Yeah. So he was like my best. I think I said it on the exit interview. I was like, he was my best friend on the show. So that was really sad, because I felt like I'd betrayed him. But at the same time, Yian and Kane were also my best friends on the show. So if I'd have sent them home, it would have been like, what? It was just the worst decision for me to be in. I think that was probably my lowest moment.
And the thing is, like, on shows like that, like I said, because you almost, and it's so cliche, you do become a family, even with people you're competing against, because you're spending so much time together. When someone says, I'm watching, they go, oh, that's a piece of piss. You just go, blow, and it don't matter. But it does affect you, doesn't it? Because you're a bit like, even though we're against each other, you don't want to send anyone I really hate, but that's the show.
No, honestly,
I used to, and I'm the worst for it, I used to scream at the TV at these reality shows, and I'd be like, why are you crying? You've known him 2 minutes, get a grip. I think I was crying the most on there, and then I was like, I really understand it now, because you're with them people 24/7, you form relationships with them, you forget when you're in the safe houses that it's actually a competition. And it's like, I think as well, you know that they want to be there as much as you.
Yeah.
Why should I have to like ruin their chances? Like, even if they didn't win, they'd still be, you know, having another 2-week holiday in Greece, that I've ruined that because I've had to send them home. So it's definitely guilty as well. Even if you don't like them, it's still.
Oh, God. Yeah. Even if you're in that bubble together, you still fit. Yeah. I completely get that.
Yeah.
Would you do any more? Now you've got the taste of it, would you do more reality TV moving forward?
Absolutely, I would love to. Anything that I could literally get on, I'd love to do. I'd love to just do presenting as well, because I did do like a lot of drama when I was younger, so I am very confident on the stage and stuff. But yeah, I feel it's such good fun, and it's once you've done one, you know what it's about, so you know it's not
how it works.
You know, it's not all fun and games. It's not, you know, you're going relaxing for 10 hours a day. You're literally working, essentially, and you're not getting paid. So you're doing all this work for this TV company, all the crew's getting paid, and you're there like, hang on a minute.
Scrabbling around for 30,000 euros on a gold card.
Yeah, but it's what an experience, and to be able to say you've done that, incredible. So anything, I'd do anything. Apart from I'm a celeb, I don't think I'd do that.
Well, not after the spiders in the bedroom situation.
No, that was enough for me.
Well, Amelia, we can catch Loaded in Paradise on ITVX. Is that right? The whole series is on there now, is it?
Yeah, so the whole series is dropped on ITVX now, so you can binge watch it. But I know quite a few people can't get it if they've got, you know, certain TVs or whatever. So it will be coming out on ITV2 every night, I think just after March.
Got it. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and sounds like an amazing experience.
Yeah, brill. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lovely to speak with you, darling.
See you later.
Pluto seems a bit of me. Great God, with a gold card.
You don't have to sell it. I'm sold. Sold
can
to
we
me.
Share him? I'll share.
Maybe they could do a version and we can do the next series. Yeah.
Yes, we should do it.
I'll be up for it.
We could do, do you know what we'd be good on? Hunted.
Do you think? I'd be terrible. Well, I'm good with direction.
They'd be me doing Instagram stories and posts.
And tagging where you were.
About 3 minutes. But I like the idea of us running around. Both yin to yang, you and me.
Yeah, I can see it
you'd
working,
have, you'd have contacts that people wouldn't suspect. And so, yeah, we should do it.
Put it to ITV. We'll see what they can do. Right, our second guest, Harvey Armstrong from Made in Chelsea, is in the waiting room, so let's get him in.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
It's the amazing Abigailiah Shimon.
I lost my virginity on prom night in a cornfield in Ohio.
Wow.
And that is the most American thing I've ever done.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah. What a way to lose it. In a cornfield.
Yeah, in a cornfield. We had a blanket.
I remember texting a friend afterwards and I was like, it didn't taste like I thought it was going to. That was my confusion.
Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by the wonderful Ray Black. I woke up to my mum listening to my music and singing along to it. And there's one that's like, it's very explicit. And she was singing along and vibing to it.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, to my sister in the next room, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's listening to this song. Like, this song is about sex. She waltzes into the room and she's like, there's nothing you're doing that I haven't done before. I was like, oh my God.
So we're all learning new things.
There's nothing you're singing about I haven't done before. So it's fine.
Oh my God.
Joey Page.
I'm joined by Marika Hackman, whose splendid new album Any Human Friend is out now. You are just explicitly honest and quite graphic in some places sexually. And do you think it might also be quite difficult when it comes to dating and stuff? Because someone can like basically listen through all this explicit stuff.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
There you go.
Great, yeah. I mean,
sorry to bring that to your door.
Real turn off.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Arby. You right, mate?
Oh, hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Arby, I've got to start by saying I'm loving this canvas behind you.
Yes. That's our...
Time. How's it going, mate?
It's going well. Business is very well. Personally, things are good as well. Good start to the year. How about you guys?
Yeah, really good. All going swimmingly. I'm doing, although I was just saying to Bob at the top of the show, I'm doing 100 days sober, so I'm like, I'm 11 days in. But I'm doing all right. Yeah, kind of enjoying it.
And that's a challenge. I mean, definitely from a guy that sells beer, yeah. Very hard to do that.
Yeah, not very on brand for you. I'll visit, I guess, dry January.
No, it's not great for us. We're trying to push try January, so try a new little
cold on February.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk us through what's going on with you at the moment then.
What's new? Well, we've just moved into our new offices, that's why you'll see this behind me. And we've got a team, building a team for prime time. We've just started filming actually back to main Chelsea, so we started yesterday.
Oh, cool. Is that the first day of filming for the
year? Back for the new season. God, I can't even tell you what we're on now. I think we're on 25. Can you believe that?
I think that's right.
More seasons than there has friends.
So
lots on really. Sort of juggling too. But enjoying it.
I was gonna ask, do you enjoy it? How do you find the whole filming experience? Is it just second nature to you now?
Do you know what? It's become close to second nature. I don't think I'll ever find it second nature. I don't think I was made for the cameras. I think there's certain people that just like, oh, the cameras aren't there. Like I still go, I'm still like, oh, there it is. It's looking at me. But I've done it for 3 years now. It is becoming just like, sort of closer to very comfortable now. But there's still all sorts that happens. You're like, oh, Christ, it makes you rethink, like, what am I doing? Why am I sharing my life to the world? Like, this just doesn't.
Do you find that slide a bit hard? Because obviously, shows like Chelsea, Geordie, Tower, it very much is waltz and all in terms of there's nothing that's not been done or. They'd film a lot if they could. Is there things that you find kind of hard to share?
I'm quite an sort of emotion, not emotionless, but I'm quite like internalized guy. I kind of keep most stuff to myself on an emotional front. So, you know, they want to see emotions, they want to see drama, they want to see all that. So it's definitely quite sort of, it's quite a sort of conflicting way to be when you're on TV. So obviously I've gone through quite a turbulent time with the ex, and sort of do you guys know about all that?
Yeah.
I'm not putting my own foot in it, like, let's talk about it.
No, who's that?
I have you seem quite sweet for someone on reality TV. Do you know what I mean? Oh, well,
thank you. Yeah, maybe I'm too nice. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be like, trying to start shit in drama. To be honest, for me, I've never really been one for drama. Like in reality, I don't like sort of bitching about people or getting stuck in other people's business. And I sort of just go about my life. And it's through that journey, I've somehow managed to attract a lot of drama and just a lot of shit thrown my way. So I've managed to kind of, I guess, make good TV and stick around, and I've enjoyed it because of that, and not having to kind of, you know, do anything against my nature or.
You say that, but then you also said that like you have had some public fallings out on the TV and stuff, sort of like obviously with your ex and with Mars and all that sort of stuff. But like how, when you look back, do you regret doing those sorts of things, or do you just find it comes with the territory? How is it when you're actually like out of the filming world and you see them out and about? I don't know.
My breakup with Emily, I massively regret. And that wasn't sort of, that wasn't, that wasn't any reason to do the show why that happened. I mean, that was a kind of behind the scenes, like, you know, things kind of falling apart slightly in our relationship. And then, you know, me making a very stupid move, which I regret every day. But I think it kind of highlighted the fundamentals. We were on two very different paths. She wanted marriage and kids and she wanted to settle down. And I was just, you know, business focused and I just didn't have it in my sights for so many years. And I don't know, it was just like subconscious, like, I need to get out and did a very stupid thing, which I regret. The kind of, you know, I think, you know, me and Miles falling out, that's all very real again. Like I don't hang out with him in London. If I see him, it's for kind of like work purposes and, it's around filming. We keep our length really. And then my good mates like Reyes, Tris, they're good mates. Like we hang out every weekend and like, it's not, I mean, like, my journey through the show is very real. I can't really sort of, what you see is what you get effectively. It's kind of it. Yeah. I think it's the kind of the best way to be, because it's a weird industry to be in. And, Bob, you'll
people
know.
People try and fake it always get caught eventually, I think. On shows like that, there's only so long people try and put on a front and they try and be something they're not, but you're always going to get found out. So you're always better off just being you. People will either like you for it and they'll certainly respect you for it, or they might not, but that's life. It's when people try and manipulate the audience, which audience ain't silly anymore. Reality TV ain't nothing. So people see right through it.
No, exactly that. And I think also you'll lose yourself in the process. You'll start to look back and be like, why did I have that opinion or sort of go in at that person like that, when really I didn't really care about that. I didn't think about that, but I thought I had to say something. And you start to kind of get distorted what's reality and what's not, and what your actual like ethics are and morals are, and what you know. And I just like try and keep it real. But you know, there are people that don't like being in the industry. There are people that don't, and it's quite clear.
Amen. How do you feel working with exes? Because in most jobs, when you break up with someone, you don't tend to see them. You certainly don't often work together. But in that kind of world, they're there, aren't they? Every party, every event, every trip.
I think that's the pinnacle of the weirdness in what the industry like offers. It's like, I was out in Bali with Emily for 5 weeks, a girl that hadn't spoken to me for 10 months, a girl I once loved and lived with, like, you know, serious as an ex can get, and then top it off, her boyfriend's out there. So I'm there like, you know, on this like tight-knit group of people out on the other side of the world, with my ex and her new boyfriend, and like, it's just like, in no other world would I have been in a situation.
Most people, you couldn't pay enough money for them to do that. They'd just be like, no, absolutely not, I'm not getting involved. But you kind of did it voluntarily.
Yeah, where do I sign?
Why not?
Emotional turmoil.
Do you find that a bit of a head fuck, Carl? Because it is weird. And it, like you say, it's one thing, even if you bump into an ex in a supermarket, you'd be like, oh, sometimes you still get that feeling. But to be on a trip and then they've got another partner and you're working together, essentially, it is a bit of a, what the fuck's going on? It's a weird world, isn't it?
It was, no, I can't deny it. It was weird. It was emotionally quite, like, confusing. Like, I am over her, and it was like quite nice to see her like happy and sort of, we got to kind of a friendship point there. We're like, look, we're out here together. Let's try and be friends. And it was nice. It was because previous to that, like, you know, she wouldn't even sort of look at me. And we were still kind of like working together through the season before Bali, but like we kept our distance because we had our own houses. We went filming, then we went back home. But in Bali, you're like, you're living together pretty much. We were in different villages, but we were there. It was like, there was 10, 15 of us, and like, we were going on the same nights out and trying to be a sort of team. So I had to, had to kind of be amicable and civil, and it got to like a nice point, and then it kind of all went sour again.
And I guess we'll be finding out more about that in the upcoming series, will we?
Yeah. Well, have you guys seen the Bali series? That's just, So that was quite heated.
Mm-hmm. But then actually, I know obviously, you say it's quite heated. There must be positives to doing the show, otherwise you wouldn't stick at it, right?
In general, I was in finance before the show, and I compare sitting at a desk for sort of 10 hours a day working for the man, and then I think about, you know, being out in Bali
for 5 weeks or whatever it is.
Positives there. Obviously you put yourself, you know, you expose yourself to the public. There's a lot of like emotional tax that comes with that. You got to have a thick skin. I also have my business, and it's, you know, it's a very, very strong tool to market that and kind of enhance the growth, create a great brand awareness. It was a decision I made to go on the show to kind of promote and build my business. And at the time, like I had to keep my head above water. So it's also like a small part-time income, which does give you enough time to work on, you know, the bigger picture. So that's kind of what I'm doing with it. Yeah.
That's totally fair.
You guys are made in Chelsea. Certainly had it a lot better. We never got 5 weeks anywhere. You know what I mean?
You've been out in Marbella.
We never used to get that, I tell you.
Did you've been out to Marbella a few times now?
Yeah, we got a few days in Mars.
Four or five days, right?
5 days in Mars or 5 weeks in Bali. Not to sound ungrateful, but...
When will the next series be on? Do you know?
I don't know specifics, but it'll be probably like a couple months from now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a sort of packed year as well again, which is great. Shows sort of doing really well. So,
where's your trip this year and how many weeks? Go on, tell us.
And is there room for a plus one?
Yeah. What's your baggage allowance?
you're too big and muscly now, Bob. You wouldn't be able to fit in that 18-kilogram bag or whatever.
I might have to come to a cameo on MIC. Put me up with your doses. I'll be a bombshell.
we don't know what the away trip is at the moment. I think it'll be in sort of towards the summer. No, I'd like to keep it hush hush and surprise us.
Lucky you, nothing to complain about there. Well, Harvey, thank you so much for joining us, Eden. Really appreciate it, and best of luck with the filming as it carries on.
No, thank you for having me, guys. Pleasure to meet you both.
You're welcome. You too. Take care, Harv.
Good evening.
Cheers. Bye.
You couldn't pay me enough money to sit in a room with my ex and discuss the past.
Oh, do you know, especially if there's certain exes or an ex, there ain't enough money to do it. And that's sometimes where you go, right, see you later.
That's quite enough. Yeah. Jobs are good and done. Right, our final guest, Mia Borman from Team Mom UK, is waiting in the guest room. So let's get in.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got our first guest of the day in, and he goes by the name Vice Beats.
Thanks. I've not been on Twitter for years, so like I've now remembered that exists.
But... So what, did you just find out about Brexit and all that?
Yeah, I know it was. Everyone was like the B word. I was like, what are you on about? Who is this? So like apparently something's going on.
Yeah.
Is this
thing now called being woke as well? I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah,
you missed that.
Wow.
You missed that.
So I just thought I'd been awake and then someone was like,
cancel culture,
are you woke? I don't know what you're talking about. It's been great.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio. Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes,
hello,
I can.
How are you, babe? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really good, thank you, darling. Excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Apart from I've got, the cough that everyone's got at the moment. I think people say so. I coughed and I had phlegm down my chin earlier when I was getting my lashes done. It's gone wrong. January started awful for me, but I'm good.
That
how are you,
cough
babe?
Is everywhere in Essex at the minute. Everyone's got it. So many people have been ill over Christmas.
I had it Christmas Day. Christmas Day, I came down with it.
Right.
Yeah, it was the cough.
Bless you.
And I, about 3 or 4 days, I was like every day.
My mum was as sick as a dog. It's gone everywhere.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
So tell us about Teen Mom UK and the return and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, so I wasn't on it for 4 years.
Yeah.
So I had a big break from it. So then it's come back for series 8. And do you know what? I think a lot of people were thinking, is it going to be the same as normal? Because obviously everyone's gone on to influencing and different sort of careers from when we were young. But then the feedback we all got was that it was exactly the same. I think people are a little bit more aware now of the cameras. So I think when we were younger, everyone would just argue a lot more on the cameras. Right? I think
a bit
now,
messier.
A bit messier, a bit more like not aware of our surroundings. Whereas now I think a bit more, everyone's a little bit more aware. So I think people were apprehensive, like, is it going to be the same? But I think once the cameras are there, because there's only two cameras filming you, you just forget that anyone's actually filming. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes I'll be laying in my bed looking awful and forget that that's obviously going out on national TV.
And I think that's the thing, though. As years go on, no one gives a shit, do you? Because it's all new to everyone. No one's kind of second-guessing what they're saying. Until you kind of start watching yourself back, and as years go on, you then get people that start self-editing and kind of change it, don't they? Does it feel different to shoot, or are they still shooting it very much the same?
Exactly the same. Everything's exactly the same. And I think when you get into filming, it's okay. But I think at the end of the day, when you finish filming, because you're more like sort of self-aware, you're a little bit like, oh, did I say anything I shouldn't have said? Whereas when I was younger, I'd just say whatever and not not think about it. But I think once the show started going out when we were younger, we would then get, you know, the feedback, the hate, the trolls. So then you then are then careful what you say because you don't want the hate. So you're like, oh, I need to say it to something that everyone agrees with.
Yeah,
but then right. Really, it's not really the way to do on TV. So you just sort of have to still be yourself, but just ignore the trolls, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How has motherhood changed for you in the last, in the period when you weren't on the show? I mean, obviously, a child gets older, but I mean, like, how is it different for you?
Do you know what? It's so weird. I say, and people always look at me like, what are you talking about? I didn't really feel like a mum until she went to school. Because I think when they're young... They're just with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just wing it. When they go to school...
You're like babysitting.
Yeah. That's what I felt like. I was just babysitting, like, my child. And then when she started school... I was like, I've actually got to understand maths. I've got to remember that she's got PE tomorrow. She's got a school trip next week.
Got to do a lunchbox. You got to do all that stuff.
And it's like, you've got to be so organised. And I'm like, yeah. And I was in the school playground and I was like, I'm actually a mum. Like, and this is so weird. Like, I'm a mum.
That's insane.
So I didn't that change so much. When I went back to filming. No, honestly, I think when they're younger, they're just with you. I mean, you feed them, you bath them, you make sure they're okay, they're breathing, they're fine. But apart from that, like, you haven't got, you play with them. And then when they get to school, you're like, I'm actually responsible for. And then being called into school for like meetings and she's not behaving well and things like that, I'm like, I just don't know what to say to you. I don't know what to say.
This is awkward.
I just feel uncomfortable, okay? I really feel uncomfortable.
And the thing is, I don't have kids yet, but I guess there must be. So I always think this, like, and I know karma will come back around and get me. When I have a dad, is it when you're a parent, like, especially when kids start developing their personalities and they might be cheeky or a teacher calls you in or you get a school report, is it hard to tell your kid off for something if you think, God, I used to do that, but I was probably worse?
Yeah. No, but do you know what? The worst bit is that I was not good in school. But she's worse than what I was. So, like, mine.
Karma for you as well.
It's karma. Karma's really good for me. Yeah. But I was not good in secondary school, whereas she's not good in primary school. And I remember one day the teacher called me in and she said, look, Marley, I got really angry today and she's ripped all the displays down in the classroom. And I was like, why did you do that? Like, why? Like, you're five. Why are you so angry? And like, I don't know how. It's so we were like, and we came home and you do the classic, take your iPad away, take everything away.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I'm like, what if she is really naughty? And then that, like, I don't know, as they get older, you start worrying more, basically. You start thinking, what if my child is just really naughty? Like, how do I handle that? And all the worries start kicking in.
Yes, I guess that's a good point, because before they go to school, you're just with them all the time. That's just what you think a child is like. When they're sort of, they're not independent, but they're a bit more out in the world, aren't they? And doing their thing separate to you. Yes, yeah, bizarre. I've never thought of it like that. It's interesting.
And then also you compare them more to other children, because like, she had a Christmas party the other day and all the kids were there singing their song. Like, it's all lovely. It's all about all the different countries in the world, and they're all singing.
And she's there lifting the display down.
Doja Cat. I'm like, I need to sort of, Doja Cat, get into it. It's her favourite song. And I'm like, I need to stop playing those sort of songs maybe around my 6-year-old, because now she thinks that's normal to sing it in her school nativity.
Oh,
but that's the innocence of children, though, isn't it? Because there's always been songs, I think, whatever generation you're in, I'm like singing Madonna Like a Virgin without having a clue what that was. Do you know what I mean?
So whatever age you are. You imagine being a parent now.
The innocence of kids, like, isn't it? Because about certain songs now, you'd be a bit like, shit.
I'm horny. Oh, we used to, Moose Tea, I'm horny. We used to sing that in school, I remember.
But the songs have got worse. Yeah, the songs have got worse. Honestly, the world of kids is just so much more like, and then they're all like really aware of everything. They're all online. You've got kids at 8 and 9 on TikTok, and you're just like, oh, I don't know. I feel too young, but too old.
Kids and social media. It must be so hard being a parent juggling social media with kids. I'm so glad I didn't have a child. I'd say, like, my Polly Pocket, and I was happy. Do you know what I mean?
My Tamagotchi, making sure I kept my Tamagotchi alive, and that was it.
Oh, God, mine died and I cried for days. I had a cat one and I fed it too much fish. I cried for 2 days.
It was my life. But do you know what? Having a kid isn't the same as a Tamagotchi. And that's what I think.
That's why I'm still waiting at the minute.
You can kill a Tamagotchi a lot easier, I think, than a child. I mean, that would, you know, like, overfeeding your Tamagotchi some fish, you know, I think you we'll move on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. But at 18, when I was 18 and thought, oh yeah, I'm having a child, you just don't think about all these things. But then, do you know what? I think, as I speak to older people, like what you were just saying, Bobby, you feel like you're not ready. But I think the older you get, the more, like, you know, the more you think about it, you then don't feel any more ready. So when I was 18, it was just like, oh yeah, I'm having a child. I didn't actually think I'm having a child. So I think it was quite good having a young, because I didn't really think about it. And then now you just do it. Whereas if I was, when you're older, you overthink everything, don't you? You think, oh God, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And the beauty is, well, in your age gap, I guess you can have much more of a friendship. Because I always used to think, I wanted to always be a young dad. I thought I never wanted to be an old dad at a school gate.
Bit late now, Bob.
Well, and I'm 21 now, Mia, so I'm a little bit like, so by the time he's 21, I'm going to be 42.
I'm a little bit older than 21, I know you can't tell, but 24 is a secret
but if, the reality is I probably would be classed as a geriatric dad.
Yeah, you would.
What's geriatric mean?
Old,
past it.
No, but then you've lived your life and you've done everything you wanted to do.
Yeah,
I think it's beautiful both ways.
True, and I'm still going to do it. I'll just be a geriatric dad, but I'll be a cool dad.
Yeah, and you don't look like an old dad.
Thank you, babe.
Do you
see the problem will become when my son wants to learn how to play football, and I'm a bit like, okay.
Why don't you watch this Kylie Minogue video? You might enjoy this Kylie video.
I can teach you how to plait a Barbie's hair. But to score a goal or tell you the offside rule, probably not, babe.
Do you think, Mia, that you'd like to have more children in the future?
Yeah, I definitely would. I went through a phase where I was obsessed with, because me and her dad broke up when she was one, maybe. And so I went through the phase where I was like, I don't want to have like two kids with two dads and not be with either of them. Like, I'm scared of being judged. But now I've got to the point now where I can crush, I don't care. I've gone into a really I don't care era. I feel like that happens a little bit when you get a bit older. So I'm 26 now. So I just don't really care. So now I'm at the point where I think, yeah, I'd have more kids now. But I'd like to have all my kids before 30.
Well, you best get to it then. Bloody hell.
Yeah, well, I know.
Well, Mia, DM me, babe. You've got some eggs. Who knows? We're both 26. It could work.
Well, you were 24 earlier, Bob, I thought.
Oh, shit, yeah, I'm 26. I lied.
You need to get this story straight.
Yeah.
Well, where can we see Teen Mom if we want to watch it? No.
So you can watch it on Paramount Plus, the app. You can watch it on Now TV, I think, Sky. And they do repeats and stuff, and they do a lot of embarrassing clips on YouTube, so...
Perfect. That's exactly what you want, looking back at your 18-year-old self, I'm sure.
Yeah. Love it. My face is like this big. I put on four stone when I was pregnant, and it's just me like this with five double chins on YouTube. It's brilliant. Love it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Susan. Really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Take care, darling. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
What a lovely ray of sunshine she is.
Wasn't she? I can feel the positivity all the way here in Turkey.
Yeah, and that's some distance. Yeah, really nice to have her on. What a lovely show. Nice to be back.
Lovely show. Good to be back. Nice to be here with you guys. A few weeks off. Hope you all had a lovely Christmas and New Year, as we say. And yeah, exciting things for 23.
Let you get back to your bed, Bob, because it's late in Turkey.
Yeah, we've got 3 hour time differences, so it's bedtime for me. But how about you? You got much planned for this evening?
No, this evening I'm having a quiet one. I'm always having a quiet one at the moment because I'm not drinking. So what do? Nothing. So do you know what I'm going to do this evening? I'm going to play my PlayStation, which I haven't done in a while.
Ooh, what game are you going to play?
Don't know. I'll have to have a little search for you. Maybe a bit of Grand Theft Auto or something. I'm feeling
a bit... Yeah, go steal a couple of coals.
I'm not drinking, but I am thieving on
balance. All about balance.
It is, exactly. Will you be in Turkey next week when we do the show, Bob? Will you be back?
No, I'll be back in Essex next week, guys.
Bad.
So excited for that. But... last few days. Well, I fly home Monday, so by the time we film, I'll be back home. How about you? Much on for the rest of the week, babe?
What am I doing? Nothing! Oh, no, that's not true. I'm going to go help my friend decorate his new flat on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
He was like, I'll buy you champagne and pizza, and I'm like, I'm not drinking. sound like the most boring man ever. So no, pizza,
no
pizza, pizza will do.
In January, babe, you ain't boring. Just get him to get two pizzas.
Yeah. I'll make up for the calorie count that I could have lost with the champagne.
By you get an pizza. Extra large. If you're getting a Domino's, get an extra large garlic and I'll smash one of them to myself. Oh, God, I can't. Now, what if they've got a Domino's in Turkey?
I'm sure they can get you a pizza somehow, Bob. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.